You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
My name is Kevin.
My name is Jarrett.
Ryan, there you guys. There you guys are. I knew you were here somewhere. Thanks for joining. As usual, we are doing our usual conference call-in type of podcast here lately. But we're going to be doing this one on, it's on Slabs and Such, I think, which isn't the name of a shop, at least I don't think.
Slabs and Such.
You never know.
Yeah, you don't know. We're going to be talking about CGC, kind of a horror stories, and the reasoning why it really creases our pages. Am I right, Jared?
Yeah. Aspects of it crease our pages. I'm sure individually we have our own qualms, and I'm sure we have, I will also say we have our praises. We're definitely not going to sit here and bash people who grade their books, because we've done and do the same. But there are aspects of the grading world and the grading community that crease our pages.
Yes. Let's start off with something easy. As far as getting your books to CGC or CBCS or even PGX for that matter, it's not an easy type of thing. First of all, they're available to drop off only usually at conventions. So you have to be at a convention. But as 2020 taught us, you're not always able to go to a convention. Therefore, you have to rely on either a company that sends the books in for you, or you send them in yourselves.
Which requires a membership.
Right, which requires a membership. Now, the problem comes in then with even just the simplest thing as packing. How can you make sure that this book that you want to get, perhaps cleaned, perhaps pressed, we're not sure, or maybe just graded and slabbed, how do you know it's going to get there in perfect condition? How do you know that your 9-8 beautiful book that you just got off the rack that you're so eager to send in is going to arrive in a condition that's going to equate a 9-8 in their grading service? You don't.
No. Not only that, but it's the extra added stuff too. Now it's like, now that cleaning and pressing is available, and hey, lo and behold, these companies, CGC for certain, offer that perk as, you know, for an extra charge. So my main first thing that really creases my pages with CGC is the cost. So one book, you gotta really want that book either preserved, graded, or, you know, if you're gonna sell it, you have to be very picky, unless you're Daddy Warbucks, but you have to be very picky with what book you're picking, because you send in two books, that could be up to $200.
Yeah, absolutely. I did a Incredible Hulk 181, and it cost me $175 to get it cleaned, pressed, graded, shipped there, and shipped back to me.
Yep.
Wow. So every year it's just getting worse and worse. I remember before it wasn't that bad, like up to like maybe 6-7 years ago, but now it's just out of control. I guess there's such a big market. Well, sorry, there is a big market for it that, you know what, they can just name their price and people will pay.
Unfortunately, there's only three in the business, and one of them's barely still hanging on, which would be PGX. Right. But CGC and CBCS are the two big guns, and they've been competing back and forth. And you would think that competition would equate price reduction, but that's not the case. It's just like at the gas stations. One will look at the other and go, oh, the other one's raising? Guess we got to raise too.
And not to mention, I still think, and I'm guilty of it too, because they've pushed so hard, CGC still gets maybe a little extra cash if you're trying to sell, or a little extra like hype behind it because it's CGC. It's like, you know, you see a CBC book and you're like, oh, like it's almost looked at as like less than, but it's not. It's still a graded book. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. A lot of people look at these things and they think that, oh, well, if I get a graded book, you know, it's better than getting a book that's not graded, because then I know what the quality is.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, you know, another thing when you get into the collecting market of people who either want to buy your book, if you're a seller and they want to buy your book raw, I had a guy who I was selling some high grade or some big keys, and he was like, I really want this. He bought one book from me. He bought a Secret Wars 8 and it was pristine. And he was like, yeah, I definitely want that one. And then I had another book that he was looking at, and he said, yeah, but that's not going to be a 9.8. So for him, it wasn't even about having the book, and it wasn't even about having the book in a good condition. I mean, this book was at least an 8.0, but he said, no, it's gotta be a 9.0. I have to be, not that you ever will be, but I have to be certain it's going to be a 9.8. Cause there's people who, like, if it's not 9.8, it doesn't mean anything, is just bullshit.
It doesn't count, which is then when you get these groups like these low grade collectors, and it's a whole subgenre of people that love like 3.0s, 4.0s, 5.0s. They just love these low grade to mid grade books because A, they're affordable, and B, they can get a lot more for their money. So they're getting, instead of getting one or two keys, they're getting 15 keys because they're getting all at such a lower price because they were a lower grade.
Completely.
Now I'm looking.
So now here. Let's. Oh, go ahead.
That's okay. I'm looking here as far as like the pricing schedule for CGC, and currently, grade wise, you can get a modern book graded 1975 to present, valued at $200 or less, for $20. Now the turnaround time at this point can be anywhere from 3 to 6 months. So that's not counting shipping to them, which is usually about $15 to $20, and shipping back, which is usually about $15 to $20. So you're looking at about $55 to $60 for any book from 1975 to present that's valued at $200 or less.
Right.
So now, valued at $200 or less, and you're already putting $60 into the book, that's not counting how much you actually paid for the book. You better have gotten that book for next to nothing, or else your value in that book is relatively low.
And then you got to think about, we're looking at people like immediately when Ultimate Fallout 4, when that book went crazy and people were like, because it's a modern book, your chances of getting a good grade on it were way higher. So people were getting that book graded like crazy. I think it was like one of the most highest, submission books like at that time. Like everybody was getting their Ultimate Fallout 4 graded. Mm-hmm. And so that book, if you're getting that graded to sell it, which a lot of people were, you have to make sure that you're going to get triple your price because you're already sending it in. You're a couple hundred in the hole. And depending on whatever you, you paid for originally for it.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets you to the other extreme. You have to pray to God. That's at least a 9.6, but preferably a 9.8 to really make back your money.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the gamble of it too. That's the gamble of it too. So my question to you two is then, do you think in the future people are going to want to? I don't think grading is going anywhere. I don't think it's gonna unless there's like some big conspiracy that people find out about CGC and it's the downfall of CGC and grading books and all that. Like if there's some kind of Lee Harvey Oswald Kennedy assassination type of conspiracy theory, but I don't think it's going anywhere, but I do think that eventually it's going to split more 50-50 where people are going to say, why am I going to take the chance that gamble that somebody says, well, that's not a 9.8 when I could, if I am selling it, say, I know this is a beautiful copy. Look at the pictures. Look at the corners. Look at there's no spine ticks. There's no, the color is great. This book is great. Like this is a 9.8. And a real collector would be like, yeah, that book is beautiful. I'll pay you what you want for that or what it's worth. Mm-hmm.
And what's to stop an individual shop from just creating their own grading system?
And that's true.
While there isn't a real technology for creating slabs and stuff, people can get pretty close now with a lot of things that they can purchase and buy. All they have to do is just start certifying based on their shop and putting grades on it, and then they could start selling it like that.
especially if the shop is reputable and people have trust and faith in that shop. So yeah, they can say, you know what, here is, you know, pull a plug for one of our good friends. We Could Be Heroes, you know, comic book rated 9.8. And if you believe in it, I'm like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have you, you know, us three here, you're selling a book or somebody's interested in that book and they say like, well, what do you think the grade is on it? We through our experience could give a really good guesstimate on it. We're still guessing, but at the same time, like if you trust that person and they're an experienced collector, they're most likely going to give you a straightforward answer of like, yeah, it's a, you know, even if it's just general of like low mid grade, high grade book, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always, you know, try and give people like as clear a picture as I can. And also, you know, aside from coming and inspecting the book yourself, pictures don't lie. An HD picture doesn't lie, you know. So if you come and look at the picture and you see spine ticks and you see a rip and, you know, and a tear, and you know that's not, you know, a good condition book.
I just was looking at a book the other day and I wasn't paying attention, and I was excited just to see it on eBay, and I made an offer to the gentleman, and he's like, I can't go that low, but he countered with another one, right? Mm-hmm. And on there, it was a very fine to near mint book, a modern age book from like 87.
Okay.
So I take a look at the picture again, and what I don't notice the first time that I notice the second time is up in the top left kind of, not quite the corner, but like I would say about a quarter of the way into the book on the top, right on the top, it's torn. And the page is bent down, like the cover is torn and bent down, probably a good half an inch.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's great about those photos, because you can really zero in.
System, can you get away with saying that that's a very fine to near mint book?
Yeah.
For a modern book, that is not a very fine to near mint book.
Right.
No way. Not with a tear on the cover like that.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, I was like, I just didn't respond to him. Like,
yeah, we're
this
done.
Guy's, you know, trying to con me. He might not know that the grading system, how that works. So to him, that's a very fine to near mint book. I've had people literally tell me that their book was flawless, and then they send it to me in just a manila envelope with no backing board or anything. And I'm like, how did you expect this to arrive? Like, in what world do you send something like this out? If you're saying it's a certain grade and then you just send it like that, obviously you have a mental condition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people do try to pull a fast one on you. You remember a couple of years ago, Don, a certain dealer, no name will be mentioned, had the Eternals 2 issue listed as a VF when I bought it. And then I discovered later on it had like a stain and it was really a VG copy.
Yeah. Yeah, people will do that to you, and that's unfortunate. And that's why I think a lot of people want the CBC and the CGC, CBCS and the CGC and the PGX books, because there's supposed to be no way around that.
Right.
That is the book, and that is great. So probably that stemmed and that arose from too many corrupt dealers selling things that weren't what they were supposed to be.
Well, and how many times do you and I you know, the three of us, how many times do you, when you're asking somebody about a book, do you say, and they just kind of say like, oh, here's the book. And then you say, is the book complete? And you have to literally say, no missing pages, no tears, no rips, et cetera. Like I had to like spew that out. I mean, I still do if I'm buying a book and it looks, you know, I don't know for sure, because you don't want to also open up the book and then on page 30, the half the page is ripped. But the front of the book looks pristine. You know what I'm saying? So you're like, you have to ask these questions. So yes, in that case, like when you get a graded book, you're saying like that somebody meticulously went through this thing and definitely, you know, because especially CGC, it's like page missing doesn't affect story or, you know, any stuff like that, small tear here, blah, blah, blah. But having said that, I've been reading some, and I will say these are probably few and far between, so I'm not going to say like this company is fucked, but I've heard some horror stories. I heard one today. I was reading on the CGC forums, and the person said, and they were saying, they're like, look, CGC handled it as best they could, but this did happen. they mm-hmm. went, they sent in a book to get a reholding, which means like usually if your case is cracked, or sometimes people are just that nerdy that they want the different, maybe there's a modern, like it's a Spider-Man book and there's a cool Spider-Man label you can get.
Or,
on, so they want
yeah,
that.
It could also be after, I think it's after 10 or 15 years, I can't remember how long, that plastic starts to eat away, the acidity from the plastic starts to eat away at the, on the book itself.
Wow.
So it's supposed to get them wow. re-slabbed so it doesn't
and now,
your comic.
Correct me if I'm wrong, they charge you a little less for that, right? Like a re-slab?
Yeah. There is a $15 fee for recasing. That's what they
okay.
charge.
So that's not that bad. But once again, you are going to be paying for shipping. You're going to be paying for the reslap. Now here, yeah.
At the least, it would be $45. We're still probably looking at about $50 to $55.
To get a reslap. Now, yep. and then, but now here's, and then here's the horror story part. When they were taking out, somebody sent in an old Wonder Woman book. It was like a Wonder Woman 50.
Uh-huh.
So this is an old book. I'm guessing that's a Wonder Woman 50. That'd be a Golden Age, I would think, or Silver Age. I don't know, but an old book. And when they were taking it out, a piece of a corner of one of the pages ripped off.
Oh boy!
So they did the re-slabbing, but they had to, which I get. But it was technically in a way their fault. But they had to downgrade the book, so the book got a lower grade. He said they even sent him the piece of the corner back just, you know, because it was his. They sent him it back. And I think he said they gave it. He said they were very nice and they, you know, they made it right. So I'm sure they gave him some credit or money back or whatever. But, you know, if you love that book, that sucks. Like, you know, yeah. if you send in a 5.0 Golden Age book and it comes back at 4. You know, that would fucking suck.
Now,
you know?
Is that part of the insurance probably covers part of that? So I'm sure, yeah, like you said, they made things right. They probably gave them, like, I don't know, half the value of what the book was on top of returning the pieces.
Yeah, he was a funny dude. He said, he's like, look, everybody, I know this is like first world problems, but like, you know, this is what happened. And it was, you know, it made me not really want to re-slab some of my other books or take that risk.
Yeah, you have to be careful. I had a New Mutants number 98. I think it's 98, right? First Deadpool?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, New Mutants 98. And I'm looking at it, and I'm deciding whether I'm going to get it reslabbed. And I'm talking to my good friend Oscar. He works for and owns the company Explosive Collectibles, which is he does a pressing and cleaning service. And Oscar is the best. He works out of Frank & Sons in, I think it's a City of Industry.
Very meticulous with his work.
Very excellent job. He always does an excellent job, and he's very honest, which I love about him. He looked at my book, and he said, you know what? He said, I would not try to reslab this unless you absolutely had to, because he said, you see this in the corner? I said, yeah. He said, you see that little piece? I said, yeah. And he said, when they go to take that out, that little piece is probably going to fall off the book, and it's going to degrade it even more. And he said, you're probably going to lose a 0.5 grading on this if you get it reslabbed. So he said, if you're going to sell it, sell it like you have it now. Don't worry about reslabbing it. But he said, if you want to keep it and you want to eventually get it reslabbed, just know you're probably going to take a 0.5 hit.
What's the grade on that book right now?
8.0.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, he's right. He's right.
Yeah, because what would and actually I was going to say, so the bump at the most maybe could be an 8.5 if you got it pressed and, you know, or cleaned or whatever, those little things. I was watching an online auction today. And the guys were selling a Amazing Spider-Man 101, the first Morbius. It was a 7.0, and it was an old CGC book. And they were saying, they're like, look, this might be a good candidate to crack this open, get it. Because it had dirt on it. It had some areas that could possibly get smoothed out if it got a press. And the guy who was hosting the auction, who knows his stuff, it was Elite Comics. Ollie from Elite Comics, and this guy, he's got a crazy collection. He deals in the comics every day. He was like, you know, honestly, he said the dirt would get cleaned off, but I can see these spine ticks here and this discolorization there. Nothing's going to really change, like things that you just can't change no matter what. And he was like, you're maybe going to get, it was a 7.0, which is great for that book. And he said, honestly, and I can't even guarantee it. He said, I think you maybe get a 0.5 boost. So you get a 7.5. So for the money you'd be spending on that book to get it reslabbed and pressed and cleaned and mailed in, is it worth it? I wouldn't think so. I would just keep my 7.5.
And it also depends, because, for example, with my first Wolverine, I got it, you know, I spent about $175 to get it. I got it, the slab cracked. I got the book pressed and cleaned, and then I had it resubmitted, and it graded out a 0.5 higher.
Right.
So is it worth it right now? No, not really. But from a 5 to a 5.5, if you look at the grading and the value, mm-hmm. it does bump it up about $700.
Well, and a book like that, you know, that's one of those top five Marvel keys, I would say. So, like, you know, out of the Silver Age, or I guess it's still Silver Age, was it? Or
Bronze.
Or maybe Bronze. That's like maybe a number one Bronze Age book. So mm-hmm. any increase you can get on that book is worth it. So it's the risk versus reward. That's one of those books I would say, yeah, go for it. The yeah. Morbius yeah, one, okay. The guy had a great advice on it. He said, you know what, dude, he said, even to the seller, he's like, well, if you don't sell it today, just sit on it, wait till the next trailer comes out, and then sell it for like $200 more as is, you know, as a 7.0. Because yeah. people will pay that. And I was like,
Donald, you're going to benefit, oh, even myself as well, since I also have a copy of Hulk 181. When they announced the new Wolverine, that 0.5, even though it was just a 0.5, it'll still make a difference when that time comes. When they announce the new Wolverine, whoever it is, if it's a very popular choice and people are going crazy about the pick, it's going to be really beneficial.
And funny enough, you can get too high of a grade on certain things. Like, for example, I have the first Galactus, which is Fantastic Four, what, number 49?
Yeah,
48 or 49. It's 48, isn't it? Galactus is 48, or is it 40? I can't remember. It's 49, I think. Yeah, it's 49. So I have that, and it's in a low grade. It's like a 3.5 to a 4.5. And a buddy of mine told me, Bucky from Bucky's Books and We Can Be Hero, he said, these books are hot. He said, this particular grade, this range, he said, it's perfect for a lot of introductory investors. So he's like, this one's always going to be popular. This one's always going to sell. So he says, you're not going to have any problems selling this one. Now, it's when I went to a higher grade in something like that I might have more trouble. Like if I had a 9.0 of that by chance.
Right.
I have more trouble selling that because A, there's not as many people that want that grade, and B, there's not as many people that have the money to afford that grade.
I saw a perfect example of that. Somebody was Elite Comics were selling. I can't even believe it existed. It was like a unicorn. It was a 9.0 Amazing Spider-Man 20, the first Scorpion. Now, that book in a 9.0 is like insane. Like that had to be like one of like a handful, if that, to have a book in that, you know, from that time, in that condition. And I saw them post it and then have to post it again. And nobody was buying, you know, was biting on it because it's like, you can't not sell it for a high end price, but it's also, you know, it's the first Scorpion. It's a great book and a cool character, but it's not a Galactus and it's not a Doctor Doom, you know? So, you know, at best, it's a character that's going to maybe get used in one of the Spider-Man films maybe a side villain, you know?
Right. Yeah. Never going to be a main character. Yeah. Here's another interesting thing I found out is that a lot of people, once they buy a couple at a certain grade, they want to get other issues within that grade. So I know a guy that only wants, like, for example, the McFarlane run of Amazing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to get all of them at a graded 9.4 because he got a couple of them to start out at 9.4s, and now he doesn't want to get one that's higher. So he ran across a 9.6 and he's like, no, I don't want that.
Interesting.
I want to get a 9.4. And I was like, seriously, that matters to you? And he's like, yeah. So you have that too. Yeah, it's a very interesting subculture there within a subculture of people that want graded books versus raw books. And then there's those that want particular grades of graded books.
Mm-hmm. And they won't settle for less or settle for more.
Right. Yeah. They don't want a 9.2. They don't want a 9.6. They want that 9.4. And they will wait patiently until they come across that 9.4 at the right price.
I think I know what something like that is up to. What they want to do is they want to display it like in their room and put it on YouTube. Hey, I have, you know, issues 298 through 323 or something like that. All 9.4s. So the camera can pan over and he can show off that way. So, yeah, some people have that weird fetish like that over a particular number.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. It's like comic book OCD. I mean, and we all have it at some point as far as like, you know, some new thing that we like, okay, now I'm going to collect that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me at CGC, I do have books that I'm like, mainly modern books for me. So like I have the Ultimate Fallout 4 that I'm like, yeah, maybe I should get that graded for posterity's sake. If I ever do want to sell it, it's a book that most likely will grade high because it's a modern book. Like they're easier to grade high. The only like I'm always hesitant. I can't you tell you how many times I filled out the information on CGC stuff and then I'm just like, I can't spend $200-$300 right now to maybe get a good grade on a book, you know, that I you know. Or even like some of them, I have an Amazing Spider-Man 50 that I want to get slabbed just for the presentational purpose. I'm not selling that book.
Right.
I just want to have it, you know, in a case to look nice because it's like one of, you know, it's like my favorite book. But I'm still worried because it's like just the money alone for that. I'm like, you know, it's an investment, and it's an investment either if you want to sell, and it's an investment if you want to just have it for your own collection. Like either way, it's a chunk, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Personal decision.
Yeah. Yeah. So another horror story that I heard in it's not so much of a horror story, it's just a syndrome that we've run across. Our buddy Evan from the shop, We Can Be Heroes, he goes there a lot, actually. A good friend of the podcast, actually. Our buddy Evan got on there. And was just talking to me actually off to the side when we were doing a pod, and he said, "Hey, have you ever heard of shaken comic syndrome?" And I said, "Shaken comic syndrome?" And he said, "Yeah. Here, what that is, and collectors will check on this. What that is they will ask permission first normally if they can shake their graded book. So if you're going to sell a book to someone, they say, 'Can I shake it?'" And they're like, "Excuse me? Oh, I just want to check and see if it's mounted in there perfectly, if it's not loose." Because they realize that if it's shaking around too much inside of the case for CGC or CBCS, the encasement that they put the book in, if it shakes too much within there, it can tear the cover a little bit. Or it could bend the corner slightly. Anything can happen if there's just a little bit of shake within there.
Oh, wow.
So they'll take it and they'll put it across the counter and they'll turn it upside down and they'll look and then they'll listen to hear if they hear any movement or see any movement. And if they do, they're not interested in the book.
Wow. Now, one of the funniest things I read in my research today, because I, you know, just go into a CGC forum and get ready to go down a rabbit hole of nerd stuff, of specifically about... Like, a lot of people, I guess, bitch about the turnaround, which makes sense. But, like, so, like, if somebody brings that up, people are like, "Oh, like, I rolled." They're like, "I don't have food. We all know it sucks, blah, blah, blah." But someone was talking about Newton rings, N-E-W-T-O-N rings.
Oh, I've now, heard of that.
Those are, now, and I've seen it on one of my CGC books. If you look at your book, some of them have, like, a rainbow tint in it. It almost looks like there's moisture in the book.
Uh-huh.
It's called Newton rings, and they form when two plastics with different refractive indexes come into contact with each other.
Oh my God.
CGC has made a statement, and they've said it does not hurt the book. It's just literally a reflection. Like it's literally just like physics of, you know, and bending of light and all that stuff. But people, like, there's whole things. I'm like, "I don't like the Newton rings on my slab. I can see, what is this?"
Yeah. You talk about first world problems. My goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, Newton rings.
Yeah, go look up everybody in podcast land and Donald and Kevin, go look up Newton rings after this podcast. It's hilarious.
Now, fellas, if I may bring up something too that also creases my pages quite a bit,
sure,
is the Signature series and how crazy that's gone. The CGC Signature series. I'm looking right now on their website. CGC private signing fee for Chris Evans is, get this, $305 per item.
Wow. Yeah, see, this is what actually really creases my pages about CGC, specifically CGC, I will call them out right now, is they're a company and they want to make money, but for a company that has the power to kind of boost or degrade your book, to have so many extra things of like, how else can we get your money? If you do this, we'll give you this. I don't ever feel comfortable with that of like I've heard people that are worried. They're like, well, wait, like my book looks clean and stuff, but if I don't get it pressed and cleaned by CGC, am I going to get a lower grade? And I don't know the answer to that because I don't know if they would pull something like that. Like, oh, well, you should have got it, you know. Oh, you know, I thought it was going to be a 9.8. You gave me a 9.2. Well, you know, maybe you should have got it pressed and cleaned by us. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying they haven't said that, but I'm saying like, that's got to be in the back of your head, you know, so.
And 10 years ago, it wasn't that bad. I mean, as you fellas know, I was very lucky to get a, you know, a various books signed and CGC series signified with Stan Lee's signature. And back then, it didn't cost that much. You know, it was like maybe 25 to 30 bucks to get Stan's signature. And now, I mean, not now, but towards the end of his life, I was hearing stories like 150 bucks. I was like, wow. I mean, oh, yeah. It just gets out of control. I mean, and you know, obviously not just him, but other various famous artists and writers, you know, they may charge you an arm and a leg, you know, just to get that signature on the book.
Yeah.
And that's before you take it to now, get encapsulated and whatnot.
That's just CGC. Now we have the opposite with CBCS, where they go, okay, well, we got purchased by Beckett, and Beckett can grade cards and since baseball cards are often autographed without certificates of authenticity or anything, they got to be able to do signature verification. So they can literally say and verify whether this signature is a true signature of that artist or that sports player or whoever. So you can send a book off that's autographed by somebody, a comic book, to CBCS, and they'll verify for an additional fee that that's their signature. Otherwise, they'll say that that's an unconfirmed signature, and then it decreases the value of the book in a lot of people's eyes.
Mm. Yes, yeah. there are some old-time, old-school comic book purists. They feel that the base of the book is marked, and to them, it's worthless. Now, of course, I think there's a little BS to that, because I spoke to a certain person from one of the classical ancient booths about that, and I'm almost certain that if I sold him one of those books, he would take it. He would, of course, obviously rip me off. And you know, but no doubt in my mind, he would resell that book for exactly what it's worth or more. So it's kind of like a little psychological war they play with you.
He wouldn't keep it for his own personal collection, but he would keep it to resell and make triple the amount, probably.
Exactly. So that's why I like, you know, it's just BS. You know, we know that it's worth something with the signature. Now, yes, you may not like it, but there's always someone out there who'd be more than happy to pay you money for it.
It's going to be worth something to somebody for damn sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, Kat Dennings is $140 for her signature.
It's too much.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I don't have any comic books from Two Girls Two Broke Girls or whatever it is.
Two Broke Girls, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I get CGC emails like every day, and it's like, so-and-so is this, and signing here for only a week, you know, blah, 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 like, send us your books and money, and I'm like, all right.
Delete.
Yeah.
Ignore. You know,
one of my most precious signatures, if I could say real quick, is actually Joe Simon. There's not many books out there with Joe Simon's signature.
Oh, for sure.
Kevin, well, I hate to tell you this, but that was actually me that signed the book.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How's that possible?
Well, I have a Fantastic Four book that I got as a kid at a convention before people were getting the signature series slabs, and even before I think there was like certificates of authenticity. It was just like it's signed by Art Adams, and it's that Fantastic Four cover with the new Fantastic Four with Hulk, Ghost Rider, Spider-Man, and Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And I've looked online to look at Art Adams signatures, and I found one that kind of looked like it. And for the most part, others didn't. So I'm like 90% sure it's not his autograph. So I'm kind of like, what the hell do I even do with this book now? Like, I was like, this is like, this book is pretty much just vandalized and ruined. So
yeah. Best you could do is send it to CBCS and they can grade it for you and then tell you it's not the correct signature.
Exactly right. But jackass you also have, signature. 9.8. Wait, what?
You also have a twist on that too. Where some people would get like books that Stan Lee didn't sign, you know, from DC Comics by Stan Lee. It'd be really weird. I mean, like, I never understand that. It doesn't make any sense. Like, hey, Stan, you might sign my Wonder Woman book, and he had nothing to do with it, and yet people do that, or at least were doing that. I find that very strange.
I mean, I could see that as just like, this is awesome. I'm going to have Stanley sign like my Justice League book, you know, like just for like shits and giggles. But
yeah.
Yeah. But wasn't there a thing that
it's weird.
Isn't it there a thing that Jack Kirby never signed his covers? All his signatures are like inside the first page.
Yes, so, that's true. I believe that's true.
Because that I saw somebody who got it was like a very rare. It was a Stan Lee and Jack Kirby signed book, and it was CGC'd, and you know it was all validated. But you know you can't display that signature because the Stan Lee one was on the front. But it says in the notes, it says signed, double signed by Stan Lee, Jack Kirby on inside cover.
Wow. So they both signed it twice. Good for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, guys, with that, I think we're going to call it for the podcast here. Thank you to everybody that's been listening to us here at The Real Short Box, our audio podcast, and our YouTube live podcast that we do almost every Monday on the Rumble Spoon Productions page on YouTube Live. We appreciate that. We appreciate you for listening to us on Spotify, on Spreaker, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, on Apple Podcasts, all those podcasts and more. If you can't find us on one, reach out to us and let us know, and we'll try to get up on that podcast platform for you. Also, reach out to us anytime you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, on our Instagram, our Twitter page, or our Facebook page as well. Or if you have Kevin's phone number, just call him because we don't want to hear it anyway.
That's right. And if there's any topics you want us to cover, especially on the What Creases My Pages, you know, something that really creases your pages out there about the comic book industry or the collecting industry in mm-hmm. general, yeah, shoot us a note on YouTube or you know, just get a hold of yep. us and yeah, let us know.
Yeah, Evan reached out to me about this one, and I thought, you know what, if we can make this happen, let's make it happen. And Evan, I hope you're listening, and I hope you appreciate it because we do listen to our fans, and we want to make sure that you all are happy and that you get, you know, a say in what we talk about as well.
It's thank important. You, Evan.
Yeah, so thank you. And thank you, everybody, the listening audience. We appreciate you. And if sometime in the future, maybe, perhaps, we will see you
at the sweet, precious, valuable, effervescent
comic book show.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.